Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What is going on, everybody? This is episode 121 of Pop Culture Crisis. My name is Brett. I am still getting used to the live streaming format. We're figuring it out as we go. I am here with my co-host. Introduce yourself, please.
You didn't catch me off guard this time. My name is Mary. Hello, everyone.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good.
See, the thing about the live stream setup is now it's like, you ever have that, like, I tell everybody the story about how I have this irrational fear of walking into IRL while they're in the middle of the stream and not noticing what's going on and just kind of walking by oblivious. I kind of have that fear here, like I'm forgetting something extremely important. And eventually that will probably happen. So you will have to work with me on that, everybody. But that laugh you just heard, that is our guest host today. Introduce yourself, please?
Yes, I am Sour Patch Liz. I am here because I love you guys very much, and also because it is Wednesday and I'm the Wednesday regular. Typically, I am capable of being seen. I'm visible on Timcast IRL in the evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. But right now, we're going to talk about non-political stuff. I love it.
That is what we're going to. Well, you know, that's the thing. There's some of this stuff in here, not a lot of it, but some of it borders on the edge of political.
It's always
but
the case.
You can't really get away from that in the world we live in nowadays.
That's the whole challenge of this show.
Yes, it is.
So, walking the tightrope.
Yes.
Fine line.
Does everybody's headphones sound good? Does everybody sound good? All right. So we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about Taylor Hawkins and this article that was written about him from the Rolling Stone, but it's not about the Rolling Stone article. We're going to be talking about his friends who basically they gave feedback to the article, and they're not happy with how they felt it was represented. I did read the entirety of the Rolling Stone article. It's very long, so I actually think they're being a little bit less than generous in some of the stuff they're saying. But in general, they've got critics.
They believe it was sensationalist and also like insensitive to his memory.
Yeah, or they had questions about the way it was that they portrayed the lead up to his passing. We've got that. We've got Johnny Depp and Amber Heard is officially the most popular thing going on in America today, and I have questions about what that says about American culture.
Yikes.
I really do.
Good things.
you think only good things?
No,
of course not. We got that, and then Cara Delevingne is being accused of something very, very, very bad,
which is being cringe. Yes,
it is.
And being hella corny.
Because it's 2022, and of course, yeah. So we got that. We got Podluck. We got a bunch of stuff. Yesterday, somebody pointed out, like, your glasses are crooked. I'm like, I can't fix that, man. My glasses are just old and broken. That's just the way it is. So that's what you're going to get. We got that. We got Podluck. We got a bunch of other stuff. So if you guys are ready, you just want to get right into it?
Let's do it.
Get it? All right.
LFG.
So, yes. Thank you. Because we are going to be much better about not swearing.
That's right.
Good. All right. Taylor Hawkins' friends criticize misleading Rolling Stone article about the Foo Fighters drummer. So it says, friends of the late Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins are pushing back against a Rolling Stone article written by the musician, written about the musician's final days. Mm. That's where I think that this is slightly misleading, because the article is extremely, extremely in depth. If you, I have it pulled up here. In fact, I think I'm gonna pull it up and just so you can see the absolute length of this article. So this is an enormously long and well-written piece about him, but they do feel that a bunch of their quotes.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Hate you.
So that was Lydia's first time.
No. And the super chat is great. It goes, hey, money's shooter, go burn.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Neil.
Thank you. So you can see the length of this article. I mean, that typeface is extremely tiny.
That's insane.
So they go all the way back to him as a kid and then bring it up to talking about, you know, what happened leading up to his death. But we go back to this article here. It says, Inside Taylor Hawkins' Final Days as a Food Fighter, published Monday, alleges that Hawkins felt hesitant about returning to the road last June and was aggravated by the grueling pace of playing nearly 3 hours of concerts every single night after night. He's 50 years old. Like, we do this show some days, and, like, you know, because you work all day getting the show ready and everything. And by the time it's done, I'm freaking exhausted. Done. Like, it's like they're like, whether you're being yourself or not, there's still like, there's stuff you have to remember. There's you have to make sure to switch the camera. You have to do everything in the right order. You have to look at your notes. Like, it sounds and looks probably like, I'm sure I make it look very difficult, actually, but it's like a lot of people make it look a lot easier than it actually is, I think. And so, you know, to do that in the context of like performing music, which is an extremely taxing and emotionally invested act, especially if you're good,
especially if you care about it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a drummer, that's literally your entire body is engaged in that for
it's
hours.
Cardio workout, yeah.
Not to mention, like, you're the drummer for David Grohl's band, which just like, I think they talk about that in the article where he's like, he's just kind of like, you know, like, don't hate me because you know, he held his previous drummers to very high standards. So it says Hawkins was found dead in his hotel room in Bogota, Colombia on March 25th. While a cause of death has not been released, that was interesting to me because I was assuming, because they said he had 10 different chemicals in his body.
Right.
So you're automatically going to lean towards overdose, right?
Possible.
But as we know, that's not really how the world works. You could have minute traces of various things in your system for quite a long time.
Well, you can have traces of supplements. You can have caffeine. Yeah. You can have nicotine. All this regular stuff we use every day.
But they talk about, they say THX, which is weed, tricyclic antidepressants, benzodiazepines, and opioids, all of which are very dangerous, especially if you're mixing them. Opiates and benzos, extremely difficult to, or dangerous to mix together because of what it does to your heart rate and stuff like that. So it says, we found his body according to preliminary, those were all in his body when he was found. It says, Foo Fighters and their management declined to be interviewed for the story. That was probably very smart.
Definitely.
First of all, they're probably not very, they're struggling. You know, it's still, it wasn't, this isn't that long after this happened. And it says, a representative for the Foo Fighters referred USA Today to Pearl Jam drummer Matt Cameron and Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith's social media posts and gave no further comment. That's probably what I would, I wouldn't
smart.
Want. Yeah, it says, Cameron was interviewed for the piece, and according to the outlet, Hawkins, quote, tried to keep up with the band's intense touring schedule. There's only a handful of guys in the profession that still play at this intense, high-energy 90s rock music. So basically, to do that year-round or to tour that consistently is very, very difficult on your body. I cannot imagine having to do that. It says, he had a heart-to-heart with Dave Grohl, and he told me that he couldn't effing do it anymore. Those were his words. They says expletives, but I'm assuming that's what he said there. Cameron said, so I guess they did come to an understanding, but it just seems like the touring schedule got even crazier after that. Cameron added, a band like that is a big machine with a lot of people on the payroll, so you've got to really be cognizant of the business side of things, of something when it's that big, and there's a lot of inherent pressure, just like any business. And people, I don't think they realize that. You can't just quit.
Right.
There's contracts. There's
It's also harder for creative types to engage with the business side of things.
They want to do the art. They don't. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. They don't always understand exactly how it's supposed to work. All they know is that they signed this really long document and now they can't do anything.
They feel awful.
Yeah. They feel stuck.
And there's musicians who do the business side well. But when you're touring that much, like you're on the road, you don't have the ability to. And I imagine that also if we're talking about staying in shape, it's a lot harder to stay in shape when you're on the road. It's a lot harder to eat well when you're on the road. And so it says, Taylor was a dear friend and a next level artist, Cameron continued. I have only the deepest love and respect for Taylor, Dave, and the Foo Fighters families. I'm truly sorry to have taken part in this interview, and I apologize that my participation may have caused harm to those for whom I have only the deepest respect and admiration. Another friend of Hawkins, Smith, also spoke to Rolling Stone about the late Foo Fighter member. According to the outlet, Smith said that a pivotal realization for Hawkins came after he allegedly lost consciousness aboard a plane in Chicago in December. So they never found out, like, as far as I remember in my notes, like, there, I don't think that there was any, like, they never figured out the cause for it. Basically, pump them full of IV fluids. And if you don't know what caused it,
you just assume it was dehydration.
But that could, you know, could that have played a part in his death?
Maybe so. Maybe he had some undiagnosed syndrome. I don't know.
Yeah, it says he was dehydrated and all kinds of stuff. Smith continued that that was the straw, one of the straws that broke the camel's back. After that, he had a real important heart-to-heart with Dave and management. He said, I can't continue on the schedule, so we've got to figure something out. And then they go down here and it says Foo Fighters canceled the remainder of their shows in 2022. Oh, it says Taylor is one of my best friends and I would do anything for his family. Smith wrote, I was asked by Rolling Stone to share some memories of our tour of our time together, which I thought was going to be a loving tribute, the loving tribute he deserved. Instead, the story wrote was sensationalized and misleading. And had I known, I would never have agreed to participate. See, I don't know if I don't actually think that all of it was sensationalized.
I don't think that's totally fair, but at the same time, I see that they'd be very sensitive to how it turned out. And maybe you shouldn't trust the media. Like, given the fact that they did, it's not like it wasn't as sensationalist as they said. And I had assumed that it was because. Yeah. I always assume the worst of
it is Rolling
the media.
Stone after all.
And Tim brings up Gelman amnesia effect all the time. Like, imagine, like, so if you read this and you're a friend of Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins and everything, and you look at how their they believe that their quotes were taken out of context, framed in a certain way to fit a narrative that helps tell the story of this article better. And then you imagine, like, what that means for the rest of the world. And a lot of people forget that they're not just doing that. If they'll do that in a tribute, if they will bastardize what you said in a tribute to an artist who's passed away, what will they do for things that they care far more about than something like this? And I think we can all agree that that's not hard to believe because we know it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this is something that would wake more people up if they had, like, should we actually get people to be more involved in media, like in giving quotes to the media? Maybe then they would realize how quickly and how fast the media is to take what you say out of context.
I do feel like giving a quote to the media that you then just watch them blend into oblivion is really eye-opening for a lot of people. So yeah, I agree. And I do think that media literacy is for everyone. Yeah. And I do mean everyone. I think that there's no better way to realize how insanely they twist. Whoa.
Thanks.
Oh my gosh. I gotta get used to this again.
So scary.
It's like coming at me from both angles. Anyway, you guys are doing this every day and I haven't done this since Monday, so I need to get back into it. Anyway, what I was saying about media literacy is that I feel like if you watch what you know exactly what you said and you know exactly how they're making you sound, you're like, wait, I did not say that. Mm-hmm. That is not what I was going for, and you knew it. You were so nice during my interview.
20 years ago, it was very commonplace for the average person to dunk on the media and be like, well, they get everything wrong. Like, that was the common understanding amongst people, I feel like. Or maybe I'm assuming that, but
I would think, like, the further back you get, the more people are able to trust the media, maybe wrongly, did trust basically the official narrative on something pretty quickly, or the official consensus on maybe what a certain celebrity is like. That's why everyone believed that, like, Paris Hilton was some dumb bimbo, because that's exactly what was portrayed to them.
Maybe I'm not articulate. Like, I think more what I mean is, like, when somebody, like, gets something negative written about him in the press back in the day, they would always, like, well, you can't believe anything you read in the media. That was, like, a very common thing to hear, but maybe it was always taken in the context of, like, that person was wrong.
Right.
So maybe there's that, but it's kind of like, now, the average person, I think maybe they trusted the news, like how you imagine, like, Walter Cronkite news.
Yes, exactly.
But not necessarily, like, now what we think of, what I think of, like, awful news, I think of Missing Link Media. I think of your, what would be the best example of that? BuzzFeed or...
Yeah, BuzzFeed. Vox just put out a horrible article about breastfeeding. It's insane.
The Verge, stuff like that, like, I'm not huge fans of in the way they portray.
Not TMZ. We love you, TMZ.
No, like, I remember, like, when we started doing the show, I mentioned to Hannah Claire, I was like, I was surprised how anti-narrative they tend to be. They kind of just report the facts, and that's very awesome.
We're the same with the Daily Mail. People are like, oh, they're such a garbage tablet. I'm like, no, they're not. Mm. Go in, look at their reporting, look at the way they organize their articles, and they also always give you context. And I really appreciate having, like, if they're talking about a medical disorder, they'll tell you about the disorder there in the side. I think it's awesome.
I mean, in the UK, I believe the Daily Mail is a very political or like politicized publication, but in the US it's not.
What's,
I don't know.
What's the one in different. The UK, in the UK that everybody hates? The Sun.
The Sun.
The Sun.
Yeah, I think the
nobody.
Sun
nobody.
To mind. Yeah.
Nobody likes The Sun.
Or any Johnny Depp fan.
Yeah.
Yes. So I find this interesting because I don't feel like they went out of their way to make it. They just kind of drew into. I'm going to go into the Rolling Stone article and like and try to find. I was like, I tried to like write down paragraphs and everything, but there's so much here that down at the bottom they talk about. So they basically they just break down what happened leading up to that to that week, and they talk about how he had like what looked like white powder or what they believe could have been cocaine or something in his room, and that he said that he never played on drugs ever. So that doesn't make any sense, which makes
how
him think
they
that
know that
the, it was like people who worked for the band said like that he did not ever play using. So if the drugs were there, he could have had them, but that doesn't necessarily mean he was using them at that time. He would have put off using it until after the show. If he had a show that day, he wouldn't have consumed them. So it's like, but it's also like, addicts, and we don't know this of him, so obviously I'm not saying that, but I'm saying like, you know, speaking from my own personal experience, you get good at hiding it for periods. You can only, I mean, you can only hide it for so long, but you get very good at like hiding the symptoms of it early on. So we don't know if that's what's happening, but I don't blame them for being mad at the media for, especially for something as sensitive as somebody you really cared about passing away.
Right.
So
yeah, that's tough.
Is this something where you feel like could we use more articles like, because this is from USA Today. Could we use more articles like, I don't know if they are intentionally like being willing to call out other media outlets as being kind of narrative driven, but maybe more pieces like this that are like, I don't think of the Rolling Stone as Rolling Stone is inherently political. So if you're calling out more general news where people don't have their bias built in. So if it, like if not to get political, but like if somebody calls out Fox News and says that's bull, and you like Fox News, God help you.
How dare you?
I say if you like Fox News, God help you. You're just like, no, that's like you're just politically biased. And on the counter side, if you if somebody says CNN is bull crap, and you're like and you like CNN and God help you. You say, you know, no, you're just politically biased. Maybe we need people to be calling out stuff that's less polarizing to your political spectrum to get people to realize
like
that
a stepping stone to not believing everything you read.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I still think there's a certain credibility given to a headline, and I don't understand it. But what really needs to happen is just free conversation online about these headlines. You can't really expect these companies to turn around the way that they do business.
It's too profitable and too, well, actually, I don't know. Do we still consider most of these profitable? Like, we always talk about the media collapsing, which I think is always like, even that's narratively driven in its own. Like, I'm like, are they really?
Don't hold your breath.
Laying off a couple hundred workers, yeah, that sucks, but I'm not sure if I buy that they're all actually like collapsing as they were. No. Like, there's still people who consider this part of their daily internet routine to go onto these sites and read these articles. Yeah. I don't know if maybe the best thing we could do is to find less polarizing topics and use those as a way to kind of help people understand that they're not out to help you.
Possibly so. Yeah. To me, this USA Today article definitely just reads like, you know how YouTubers get into spats with each other?
Yeah.
They're just like sparring with each other and everyone's just like, oh yeah, you're doing great, sweetie, taking pictures or whatever. And it's like, maybe this is what they're doing because I don't trust USA Today any more than I trust Rolling Stone. And I don't trust Rolling Stone at all. Yeah. After the numerous articles they've written that are just, they seriously just made them up out of whole cloth. I'm just like, why would I trust you for anything? So I'm glad. And on the one hand, I'm glad that another, you know, source is calling out Rolling Stone. But on the other hand, it's like, really, USA Today, you're really not that much better. You are just lower profile with your crazy articles. Yeah. So
another thing is like, if you want to understand the reach of like the Foo Fighters, I was passing by Ben's desk earlier and there was like a Foo Fighter, I believe it might have been like Spotify or like early, like their music playing.
Yeah, they're
there.
Ubiquitous
and
they
I was
really are.
I was listening to, I was watching an old skate video last night and it had two Foo Fighter songs just in that video, and it was from like 97 or 98. I was watching on YouTube, so it kind of baffles me that people forget how big a band like that was, but then they still shape a narrative around it, and it's like you could show a little bit more respect for somebody who ultimately seemed like a very, very good person.
I want to know what Rolling Stone was going for with this article. Were they just trying to commemorate him?
Most of it felt very, very like in memoriam to me. Like there's
see any narrative being driven.
Yeah. There is a great, like I said, they could just be those friends of his could just be very raw right now from still being emotionally from struggling.
Well, they closed the article saying that, you know, one of his friends called him up and like couldn't even speak because he was so emotional. And it's like, that seems terrible. Why would you write about that? Why not give it some time? Oh, right, because that's not dramatic enough. That's not going to get you the clicks you want.
This was the one that stuck with me. It was this girl who like waited all day to see him and like got a picture with him. And it's like that's like he clearly touched a lot of lives.
Right.
It's like I wish more. Maybe they should be like when TMZ ever reports a death. Now, obviously, this is a very different article. TMZ just writes a basic rundown of what happened, that what they know as far as that time, what caused the death.
Right.
And then they put our rest in peace at the bottom of the piece. And they do, you know, they refrain from editorializing,
right,
which is what they should be doing.
Exactly.
But that's not really Rolling Stone's purpose in the context of this.
Right.
But it's a bummer because I don't know if you're a writer, like maybe he didn't feel that he was being disrespectful, you know.
Sure. A little bit of criticism for the author. Sorry, Andy Green. He opens it in this way that I hate, where it's like, it was a muggy day.
Yeah.
I don't care. Just tell us what you're going
to
tell us.
When they were in journalism school, that's what they were taught to do.
Like,
so they have to stick
connection.
To the formula.
No, you don't have to. Please break away. And so this irritates me too. So the title is Inside Taylor Hawkins' Final Days as a Foo Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The legendary drummer went all out for the band he loved. Yes, we know this. But in the months before he died on tour, Hawkins told multiple friends he couldn't effing do it anymore.
He was clearly struggling.
Zero work life or like semblance of a work life balance.
That's the problem with touring.
And they mentioned in the article that like that he heard them, but then more dates got added. And so I'm sure that was like kind of feels like the last straw.
Yeah.
Stuff like
and
that.
Like,
that can't
then
be
after
easy.
His death, how would that make you feel
yeah.
as one of his bandmates or friends?
I don't know.
Why did you have to? You had to earn more money. You had to add a few more dates, this poor guy.
Yep. And they're only human and they're only alive for so long. So
Not long in his case.
Mary, was there a super chat in there?
Yes. Well, we already read the hehe money shooter go.
I love that.
But have you guys, the Curtis Terry says, have you guys covered The Witcher and or the Marilyn Monroe documentary? If so, what episodes?
We have not. The Witcher is, Andrew here is a big fan of The Witcher. High fantasy doesn't really do it for me. It's like I don't know if it's the way the linguistics are done in it. I have a hard time sticking through it. Like, I made it through Game of Thrones, like, literally out of, like, social responsibility.
Sheer willpower.
Because, yeah, like, I felt like I had to, otherwise I wouldn't be part of the conversation. But I did not play The Witcher games or read The Witcher books, but it may be interesting. If it's something people would want to cover, it would be, you know, it's possible we could look up, because I believe season 3 is coming out. And I do support just about anything that has Henry Cavill in it, because Henry Cavill is one of us, right?
One of us, so, indeed.
At
least he appears to be.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, there's this great meme that says, like, it's like a girl like making a face. She's like, I love geeks.
Thank you. Should I read that now or later?
In a minute. So in the memes, like, it's like she's like, I love geeks. And it's like the geeks that she likes. And it's Henry Cavill with just these enormous forearms, like building his computer from scratch. And I was like,
it.
Of course that's the geeks you like, because geek is cool now. So go ahead.
Bodies X Wix Crypto Smart Money Explained said he played drums on my favorite album. That was just a typo. Coheed and Cambria's Good Apollo. I'm Burning Star 4. Okay. Welcome Home. That was Taylor Hawkins.
I don't know if Welcome Home was an album, but Welcome Home, the song by Coheed and Cambria, is absolutely incredible.
I think I've heard that one.
My genre, but definitely. I don't know if it's maybe because it was so popular, but that song ended up in, there was like a phase where that song ended up in like a bunch of skate videos for like intro because of how it's, how the song is organized. So that is very, very good.
Caper2X said, the new Star Trek versus the Orville. You decide. Knife fight. Whoa.
The Orville is the answer to that, as far as I know. I don't know anybody who likes the new Star Trek. Mm-hmm.
I've not seen either, so I will refrain from knife fighting, even though that sounds so exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It's a bummer to see Star Trek go that way because Anson Mount is a great actor. He's in, and so he was in a show called Hell on Wheels, which was really, really good. So hopefully he will move on. He was also in the most recent Doctor Strange movie, resuming his horrible character from Inhumans, which is objectively the worst thing that Marvel ever made, though there's growing stiff competition for that, which we will talk about at the end with the She-Hulk trailer. But Anson Mount is a great actor, so hopefully he will move on and do more stuff. All right. So we have this absolutely kills me because this is society as we know it now. And it says Depp vs. Heard, huge crowds desperate for a seat, screaming matches, scalpers, and overnight lines.
What?
So this is the world we live in now.
Do people have jobs? This is what I'm wondering. Like, it's a weekday. It's 9 a.m. Where are you?
There's a funny scene.
Outside the courthouse waiting for Johnny Depp.
There's a funny scene in like an old episode of like NCIS New Orleans where like they're out like running surveillance in the middle of the day and they're like, why the hell are there so many people out here? And he goes, you kidding me? This is the gig economy. We're the only suckers out here. Exactly. Like that's like the world, you know, that like I said yesterday, it's like they're driving, they're door dashing, they're bringing people to the airport for Uber. And they're like, you know what? I think I'm going to sneak on over and watch societal decline in action as we like fetishize this couple like slinging mud at one another. And that is the world we live in.
And something that is bothering me, thank you, is that dissing Amber Heard, and I love dissing Amber Heard, don't get me wrong, but dissing Amber Heard is becoming a form of like girl bossery and mudslinging in and of itself.
Hashtag me too.
And it's just cringing me out. Like, you guys need to find a new vibe. Try to dunk on somebody else, please. Look, not just the approved people to dunk on, exactly, which is her at the moment.
It does feel like socially, like all the dudes who probably, all the men and women who do want to dunk on women are like
right,
they finally have gotten the go ahead. They're like, there's like Hillary Clinton and that was it for like the last 5 years.
Not even though. Like, even that, like now you finally found like the perfect apolitical way to like dunk on some like woman who's more attractive and successful than you. It's a fact. It's a fact. I don't involved? Probably. And like, I'm not some kind of Amber Heard fan.
From
like,
the guys, I don't know. I don't know from the guys
it's
jealousy.
Cringing me out.
I don't know from the guys it's jealousy. I think from the guys it's pent up emotions of not feeling like they've been able to criticize anything women have been doing.
That's a good point.
For a long period of time. With women, women are critical of other women all the time anyways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, completely consistent.
But they have to do it in an underhanded way. And now you've had, like, you know, the floodgates open to...
Perhaps the biggest lie that...
Take a turd on Amber Heard.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Well, she did that for...
She did that for herself.
She earned that nickname herself. I'm sorry.
Amber like, turd.
Actually, she proved that, like, Dane...
Take
like
a herd
we talked
on
to,
Amber Turd.
We talked to Dane, like, you can't pick your own nickname. Heard figured out you can. You just have to go through drastic actions.
Yeah, you have to take
matters
into your own hands. Gosh, gross.
But to me, this is one of those. Oh man, I just lost my train of thought. It was great.
Sorry.
Though. Like
I'm sure it was.
Whatever.
Thank you.
Whatever it was fantastic.
I believe you.
I had
right.
something
Good
amazing
work.
To say.
Agree.
Like sometimes I'll keep talking and like it's right there somewhere, but I don't. But I lose it.
You're like Steve Carell. Sometimes I just start talking.
Yeah.
Figure out where it's going.
So it'll probably come back to me in the next segment, and I'll have to. And I will have to segue back and be like,
circle back real quick.
I will Jensacki and circle back. So it says the hottest ticket in Hollywood is 2,500 miles away in Fairfax County, Virginia. It's bigger than the Oscars, bigger than the Grammys, bigger than the Emmys. It's Depp vs. Heard. Somebody also made a great like Batman vs. Superman DVD cover, and they swapped out Batman and Superman.
Do you think
and
they're gonna make a movie about this?
Oh, if there's gonna be, yeah, there will be a Hulu documentary.
Do you think they'll cast Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Maybe.
They should do that.
We're getting to this level of absurdity now. Like, I love it. We can't go back.
I love it.
We should absolutely do that. Like, there's no going back. We was like, well, like, also, like, we did all those, like, real, like, true crime documentaries are a big thing right now.
Right.
Especially where the woman is evil.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm thinking more of, like, what was the first real one? It was the OJ one that did The People versus OJ Simpson.
Right.
That was the first, that was the launching point of that style of show back in the day. And then Law and Order did Law and Order True Crime or something like that.
Right.
So it says, it's been a madhouse at the courthouse when the trial first started. Fans started to line up around 5 a.m. outside the building, but it's now off the rails with Amber on the stand. Fans started lining up at 10 p.m. Sunday for Monday's 9 a.m. start just to get a glimpse of Amber, causing the sheriff to post a sign the following day that read, effective immediately, the line for the Johnny Depp Amber Heard case, spectators are not permitted to loiter or camp out on the judicial complex before 1 a.m.
That's very generous.
I'm picturing, like, have you ever seen those things like when PlayStation was like 2 was coming out or PlayStation 1 was coming out? There was like people who
lining up for a product is pathetic, but in every way but it being on a screen in front of people, this is a movie.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's not a movie, but
it's
like
a courtroom drama.
It's an actor and an actress, and you're watching them, and it's hella entertaining. So, like, how's it not a movie?
And maybe that's why. It's because it's an actor and an actress. If this was Johnny Depp and just a random person who did the same thing.
I mean, maybe some Johnny Depp fans would be out there. No, I just, if you scroll to this picture where he's holding the bouquet of flowers and all these people are, like, recording a car, and he's looking out the window, like, smiling at them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Like, he's loving it.
Oh, and yeah.
I hate that he loves it. It's like, why?
Does it surprise you, though?
It's cheap. It's so cheap.
I can literally hear him like, that is the sound of my career prospects turning back around.
It's so, like, low class.
I mean, if we were to be charitable to him, maybe he feels like he was never going to be vindicated, and like when this happens he feels some amount of vindication.
I get it, but it's like holding the bouquet and looking out the window, like,
they love me,
doing the little princess wave,
they love me,
Miss America,
they really love me.
Like, it's just annoying.
Okay, so this is, as for the process to score a seat, we're told that court officials have about 100 wristbands to dole out on a first come first serve basis for the main courtroom, an additional 100 and 150 for the overflow room, and still dozens are being turned away.
How about this? Nobody gets in. No one can watch. Get out. Goodbye. This is a private court hearing.
Our sources.
Well, they're televising it, so it's kind of their fault.
Yeah, so watch it on TV. No, watch it on TV. Go home. Get out. Watch it on TV.
Our sources say that they have been screaming matches with people cut in line, and get this, there's even a black market with folks offering cash for wristbands.
Ridiculous.
That's why you can't regulate this stuff, man. This is when you regulate this stuff, the black market always comes a knocking. So who would have known that the black market would have been for tickets to go see Amber Heard and Johnny Depp talk about how awful one another are in a courtroom? Is this societal decline kind of a microcosm of societal decline to you?
I think this is the type of dysfunction that would have been private before we had. I don't think there's ever been a celebrity culture before, really, Hollywood's inception. It never existed that you would be able to observe people's dysfunction this closely.
Well, that aspect of it, but weren't like Olympic athletes back in the day considered celebrities of sort?
I mean, still, that's not even like that back in the day.
Well, it's because we have social media. That's the only thing I can see blowing it up this way, because Brett's right, like, there have always been famous people and they've always been kind of mobbed by crowds of adoring fans, especially movie actors.
But I thought celebrities used to be, I thought that it was supposed to be considered low class back in the day to be like an actor or a,
I think there are a few actors who kind of revolutionized that idea. Like, I don't know them offhand. I would say like Greta Garbo, Marilyn Monroe,
Cary Grant.
Yeah, Cary Grant. And a lot of those people, like, very classy, very kind of cultured. Marilyn Monroe was not one of those, even though she was super beautiful, just because she was. People are welcome to disagree with me. I just don't know enough about it.
Hannah Claire informed me earlier that apparently the guy who designed the Marilyn Monroe dress that she wore, that Kim Kardashian wore on the Met Gala, came out and was like, she shouldn't have.
Well, I don't think it was the one who designed it, was it? I thought it was just the person who used to be in charge of conserving it. I mean, the guy who designed it is
probably long dead, right?
Okay, yeah, so then maybe I might have misheard that from
him. But he said it was a huge mistake, obviously. Yeah.
Well, you see the video for trying to get it on, that clearly... So it says, the crowd is almost entirely supporters of Depp. He's gotten a hero's welcome almost every day he's arrived. Safe to say, even if the trial doesn't go his way, he'll still have plenty of fans to show his support. What if he started like a Patreon?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
the road we're headed.
Well, yeah. as we if he's not going to get movie roles again, he could just go and do independent films, and you'll be able to. This will boost his rate for independent films, even if he doesn't go back to mainstream Hollywood,
his rate
is going back up. I don't know how much money one man needs if he owns three condos.
Here's the fact, it's
in
not
one
about
building.
The money. It's about the attention, and all celebrities are attention.
That's
bleeps.
That's their currency. They need the attention. That they get the role.
He doesn't really. He knows he's not going to get $50 million out of this.
It's why the tweets.
He's going to get attention and love.
It's why the tweets from celebrities are always so baffling. It's because they just need that. Dopamine hit from their tweets.
I'm not convinced. You're giving them way too much credit here. That's a very human response. I think this is entirely PR calculations.
Where's the lizard stuff?
Yeah, no, not that. But it's like, I think it's very much like PR. Like, I need to be trending. I need to be out in the news. I want people.
Oh, so
to
they're like looking at like whatever pro version of Social Blade they use.
Right. They're looking at the stats. Okay. They're like, what are my stats right now? Have I made enough of a name for myself in the last 3 weeks?
Yep.
Maybe I haven't.
Also, did you see there's like more stuff about the spec? This is why I know it's all a farce, because they keep focusing on the fact that he's like, is he dating his lawyer? Like, they love talking about that. Like, the people who like love covering, who are like covering this case so well, they're getting all this great stuff and they're making all these great observations. And I'm over here like, is he dating his lawyer? I have no idea. Like, it's just, I'm more.
The mythology about this case is just getting deeper and deeper and more convoluted. Yeah.
It really does make me wonder about, you know, where we are going as a culture. And that's kind of where, like, because I find myself like, as I'm reading this, I'm like, am I part of the problem? Are we part of the problem just by covering
literally
this?
Yes,
yes,
we are. And
for sure we are.
I don't feel guilty about it. But like,
I do.
We have such an outsized celebrity class that no other society has had before.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity for us to take our own dysfunction and like pull it out of ourselves and like watch it on somebody else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't make much sense the way I said that. But it feels therapeutic for us to see dysfunction in other people's lives.
Yeah.
Which means it's kind of like it's our own version of like safe projection. Like, yeah, if they're screwed up, I can be
like,
screwed up.
We used to have the town gossip, town square gossip or something like that. But we don't have that anymore. We have the internet.
One of the things that I always get cringe the most at when I'm looking at sites for stuff to talk about, it's like, celebrities, they're just like us.
Are they though?
Are they? It's like,
they're
it's
really
like,
not.
They go to get Jamba Juice in jammies just like you do. I'm like, I don't actually do that.
Nope.
But I mean, I get what you're saying. But who's like, I don't know anyone who's clicking on that stuff and reading that stuff. Like,
no one. Yeah.
Well, there must be. Otherwise, why would they keep making it?
I guess stands like that type of thing makes their idols more accessible to them.
I feel like such a symptom of how lonely.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you.
Hello.
It's such a symptom of how lonely people are because.
Yeah.
Like for them to be like, oh my gosh, they really are just like me.
And
you're like,
we're like, not, and we're so bored.
Yes, we need some real conflict, dude.
Yeah, like we this do. Is what we're into right
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
it's so kind good. Of like when they react to they respond to their favorite celebrity on Twitter and they call them by name as if they know the person really well. They're like, "Hey Johnny, just to let you know, like maybe you should wear a different color this week." Hey Amber, did great job on court today. I'm like, why are you talking to them
they're
like you know them?
Your friends.
Like there have been times where I've like said people's name and then like awkwardly added the last name because it felt awkward to call them by their first name because I don't know them that well. Like, but people are just completely okay with doing that on social media, and that's just weird to me.
Yeah.
But stan culture in general is weird.
Do
to
you
me.
Guys feel the way I do, which is that basically this case is the keys being jiggled in our face because we're dumb little babies?
Something else is going on.
Yeah.
It's a distraction. Well, there's always something else going on. There's always a million other things going on. I just feel like this is the thing we're supposed to care about right now and the person we're supposed to hate.
Mm-hmm. And that comes from curation, right? It's what they decide. I mean, we are actually contributing to that phenomenon right now because this video will come out.
But there we're will be self-aware.
Yes. So a video will come out. We'll make a video. People will watch it and we'll contribute to that very thing we're complaining about.
Sorry.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, I guess our argument could be like, at least we're aware of the fact that we're pointing it out
right now. Like, yes. That's why we're discussing it. We're like, not just talking about the most sensationalist.
But are we just aspects. Trying to make ourselves feel better by saying this?
Yes, that's
meta.
A little bit of both.
Very deep. Like, well, that's a thing that happens to me a lot when we're doing this show because I love covering this stuff, but I'm always looking for more from what we're talking about.
Right.
I make the comment all she that offends her. I think that I don't mean
sorry,
more.
Sorry, I was just thinking about like how much this lawyer of Johnny Depp's like. Pisses me off.
Why?
Why?
Because even she is like into the theater of it all. Yeah. Like you can just tell she like loves it.
I imagine that like the first day of trial, she gets home and she's kind of like really, really like worn out. Like it was a long day. It was a lot of work. But by like day 30, she's like in the mirror practicing her testimony, right. Or practicing her cross-examination.
Mr. Depp got you that role, didn't he? Like... Screw you. You are so annoying.
Mary,
she's out
contrarian.
Here in front of the courthouse, like hugging people.
Really?
She thinks
in her blazer, she thinks she's such a girl boss. Like, well, I'm looking at the video right now.
I don't like that.
We all know that girl boss is a hilarious.
It's just the battle phenomenon. Of the girl bosses in that courtroom.
And Johnny's
right
just
now.
In the corner, like, hopefully I win either way.
Yeah, either way.
That's what he wants. Were there any super chats? I believe there were.
See, yes. Yeah. One was Sour Patch Lids, we love you.
Ooh,
from Joseph Daraki.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you.
Wait, what was that?
Nathan. Oh, I see. Nathan Koss.
Nathan Koss.
See it?
We had the bread for the last 2 years with the stimmy checks. Now it's time for the games.
He might be right.
Oh boy.
Let the circus begin.
Yep. It's no good.
And Waffles Sensei says, when is David coming back?
David.
I'm wondering
okay.
the same thing.
David, F-A-U-N-T. I guess he works here. Some guy named David. David Font.
I've never heard of him. I know Danger. I know Danger.
David's
yeah, I
good.
Don't know David.
Yeah. No.
The funny thing is the guy you mentioned, Stimmy Checks, there's a really funny video of these dudes from like, oh, I forget where it was. But they cover, they do a version of the song, Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony, but it's all about stimmy checks.
That's awesome.
I recommend everyone go out and find that. It is really, really funny. So, okay. Cara Delevingne, I have my own problems with Cara Delevingne because she ruined Enchantress in the Suicide Squad movie, and it's very hard to screw up that character, but they found a way, and that's amazing. But she is in the news for other reasons today, and it says, Cara Delevingne has been accused of fetishizing black women after footage of her licking Azalea Banks
resurfaced.
Remember, resurfaced is not a thing. That just means that somebody went and looked for it. Resurfaced is a misnomer. Yeah. So footage of her licking Azalea Banks resurfaced following her bizarre treatment of Megan Thee Stallion at the Billboard Music Awards.
She didn't lick Azalea Banks, to be fair. She imitated the action of licking Azalea Banks from inches away from her skin.
That's gross.
But that's still hella weird. Yeah. And she climbed onto the stage pushing past security to do so. And
the more I looked at this video, I'm in agreement
weird.
That it was probably cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
Like, or something. Could, whatever this woman is on. I don't know.
Speedballs are a hell of a drug. Yep. That's, so it says it's fair to say that Delevingne has managed to completely steal the show at Sunday night's Billboard Music Awards, despite the fact that she isn't best known for being a musician, let alone a nominee. Well, neither is Ezra Miller, but we learned yesterday that Ezra Miller is a musician.
Right. Yeah, true that.
But Kara's erratic behavior on both red carpet and during the actual ceremony arguably overshadowed the actual winners from the evening, with many of her escapades going viral on social media. So basically, she's like creepily following Meg. Like, do you know how to best describe it?
She was basically just like following her around the entire night.
Look at the still image of the E! News video, and it's really funny. She's like poking
her
head around the corner.
Stalking her. And
that's so weird.
In the video, she's like grabbing the train of her dress or her like two-piece outfit and like flinging it in the air over and over again, and like Megan Thee Stallion was like not having it. She was like, what are you doing?
She looks like a weird combination of Margot Robbie and Emma Watson.
I don't like her. That
I've never
cool.
liked her. I mean, I liked her vibe back in like 2014 where she was like the goofy supermodel who likes bacon. Like, whatever.
Okay. If that's not the most if that's not the most like designed image I've ever heard, it's like you can be the goofy supermodel.
But that
who
only
likes
takes
bacon.
You so far. You're just annoying.
Well, her family's very wealthy.
Oh yeah, she's right. Totally okay, a yeah, Nepo baby. But she is pretty. Mm-hmm.
When Megan won the award for rap female artist, Kara could not hide her excitement as she leaned into Megan and stuck her tongue out while pulling a face.
Ew.
She's so weird and annoying. Like, she's like that girl in middle school who just like annoyed everyone.
Ugh. As Megan made her way to the stage, Kara once again grabbed at the train of her dress. Maybe she just really liked the dress. Maybe she didn't care about Megan.
No,
she just really liked it.
It sounds like she's high.
She's like looking for a tag. She's like, maybe where it's not. Maybe it's not couture.
Balls in the video. Exactly. I think that's it.
Finally, she was seen writhing on the floor as she took a photo of Doja posing with Fat Joe and DJ Khaled.
I rest my case. She's definitely high. What the F? What a weirdo.
So basically the tweets are from people who are... I also love the hyperbole of Twitter, where this first one says, glad people are finally seeing that Cara Delevingne as the menace to society. Like, of course. Like, maybe she's just high and acting stupid. Maybe she's not a menace to... Like,
maybe not,
do you know what a menace to society is actually supposed to entail? I don't think you do.
I don't think it's that. Yeah.
You should go see the movie, watch the movie Menace to Society. That would give you a better idea. Yes, I love that movie. Glad people finally seeing Cara Delevingne as a menace to society because she was trying to kiss Megan at the Met Gala party. Another uncomfortable moment was captured as Leia McSweeney's at her holiday party last year during Azalea Banks' performance of 212. So it says Kara got on stage mid-performance and grabbed the mic from Azalea, speaking incoherently to the crowd before the visibly confused musician was able to take the microphone back. See, when you're like, I'm imagining blah, blah, blah. Like when you're like a musician and a performer, you're just like, I'm trying to do my job here, dude. Can you go away? Like, that's just weird.
I mean, even if you're not in the middle of anything, I don't think I would want somebody like all over my personal space and pretending to lick me.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. Not at
she's
all.
She's like a feral animal, big feral clown energy.
Carol then kneeled on. She then kneeled on the floor and began to grab and lick Azalea's leg. With someone sharing the video writing, "Can we ban Cara Delevingne from Hollywood?"
Honestly,
so you should just ban her for her portrayal of Enchantress. That's what you should be doing.
Yes,
this pattern of behavior has now sparked a wider conversation, and this is where it gets very, very a wider conversation about Kara's treatment of Megan, Doja, and Azalea, with some accusing her of fetishizing black women as they're called her out for repeatedly making people feel uncomfortable. Maybe she's just,
I mean,
do you remember the
it's not totally unfounded,
but do you remember the Riley Dennis like when everybody's coming like you can't own my attraction, like maybe she's just attracted to black women.
Okay, but this is how she wants to express that. By like
attracted to
drunkenly advancing after
that. Yeah, I don't like it.
Or drunkenly, or like just basically high on coke. Like that's not appropriate behavior, and it is a pattern of behavior. I don't think it's totally unfounded to say that she's like fetishizing or like harassing people.
Harassing, yes. Fetishizing, what I'm saying is like, okay, so she's attracted to black women and she's also high, and that's the problem. Target the drugs, not the, obviously we don't know that for sure, but the behavior is erratic enough that you can ask questions, but maybe she's just attracted to black women and also happens to be going to these events and acting irresponsibly because of something.
Yeah,
I hesitate to, because these terms are such weaponized.
At the same time, like if this were a dude... acting like this, that would be predatory. Like that would be predatory behavior.
Yeah, well, we live in an era of uneven social enforcement.
To avoid a double standard, I think that her behavior is like kind of creepy and predatory.
Can I just say she also looks terrible? Like, what? She does. What is she wearing? Yeah,
she's
like, she's, is she like not there in a,
the
like,
sunglasses?
A
the orange so tinted sunglasses were like throwing me off.
So it says, do people realize that Kara was, what Kara was doing last night was fetishizing and dehumanizing
Whatever.
Black women? Like I said, when I start hearing this language, I check out and I'm like, okay, you're,
well, because goodbye. It's been misused so many times that even if it, if that is the case, it doesn't mean anything when you say it.
Cara Delevingne is weird. Please stop fetishizing black women, says somebody whose screen name is the Queen of Self-Awareness.
Indeed, she is. She also has 2 likes on that tweet, and BuzzFeed has chosen to include her
priceless
okay, input.
The viral ones were actually really funny. One of them was that Cara Delevingne and Ezra Miller need to be put in a cage together, which yeah. I would love to see. They should just battle it out for who's the most feral and unhinged.
Yeah,
well, he's not a black woman, but she is a woman, which means he has the advantage because the rage would come out in Ezra Miller.
True. Yeah,
and
she's
a
woman. That's
he would
dangerous.
Likely oh. lay the smack down.
But she's weird. She's got weird, chaotic, neutral energy.
Maybe she would just be so like all over the place. Like she wins just by virtue of acting weird and like writhing and moving all over the place. All
another
effed
one
up.
Said, your chances of being watched by Cara Delevingne are slim, but never zero.
Exactly. Well, same for your chances of being smacked by Ezra Miller.
She
right?
exudes where's my hug at energy.
Can you explain what the hell
it's just like the creepy guy at the party who like when the girl's trying to leave, he's like, hey, where's my hug at?
Oh man.
I'm here.
Cara Delevingne's behavior so greatly outweighs anything embarrassing I've ever done that I think she cured my anxiety.
And did you write you wrote an article about this, right?
I did, and I just want to include like my personal favorite part of my own article. She appeared in other clips frequently sticking her tongue out and popping into conversations between Megan and Doja Cat and others like a crazed groundhog.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, honestly.
And then there was Julia Fox. Do you have the Julia Fox?
Yeah, so okay. people oh, yeah. went and oh no, the clip resurfaced. No, people went and dug up an excerpt from Julia Fox's Forbidden Fruits podcast recounting her personal experience witnessing a wasted Delevingne make a scene and at the Azalea Banks concert in November last year. So Fox and her co-host were both there, and they recalled Delevingne rushing past security and then climbing onto the stage.
Totally normal.
Fox said she could tell by Azalea's face she was over it. She was like, okay, let me have my moment.
That's fair.
Which is understandable.
That's fair.
Then I made sure to mention she didn't actually lick Azalea. She was shown sticking out her tongue mere inches away from Banks's leg
right.
mid-performance. Accompanied this video was reposted the same day as the BBMAs because everyone was like, yay, it's time to dunk on Cara Delevingne.
So she
like, can we ban Cara Delevingne from Hollywood?
So now yes. Cara Delevingne and Amber Heard can start a club as the only women that you can dunk on in Hollywood and not be not get in trouble for it.
Yeah. That's, unfortunately so such a club exists.
So what did you think of the Julia Fox take?
I mean, she was just kind of talking about how it was like crazy and like she was thirsty. She said she was thirsty, which
what?
Is like, it's true. But like, especially with the like paired with the incident of her leaning in to kiss Megan Thee Stallion at the Met Gala after party.
So weird.
That's repeated behavior, like unwanted, unwelcome advances at somebody. And she's kind of getting away with it just because she's a woman and.
That's what happens.
That's literally how it works.
This one says, Cara Delevingne is the perfect example of white women feeling overly entitled to anyone's, but especially black women's, personal space and boundaries.
Let me rewrite that for you. This is a case of a woman feeling entitled because she is a woman to anyone else's time and boundaries.
I'm always amazed at how people always have to continually like add more boxes to everything they talk about here. Like you could make those comments so much more general and more people would feel
it's
a lot more.
It's even just like she's her. A celebrity. Therefore, she thinks
that
everything
too.
She has to
right.
add to a camera shot
it's
is valuable.
Yeah.
Like
it's not though. It's really not.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, all the guys are like, I wish you would do that to me. It's probably like all the guys in Hollywood are just like, oh, come
on. I'm just
on.
Saying if some dude in big orange shades was like grabbing the train of Megan Thee Stallion's dress and lifting it in the air, do you think that would be quirky and hilarious?
No.
Like, that's not charming.
No,
that's
and he would
weird.
Be,
it's creepy.
He would be in trouble for doing
obviously,
that.
Obviously, yeah.
He would have to apologize and he'd lose all his acting work. And then he would have to wait a year and his whole career would be based around how the fact that he got canceled and then
canceled.
And then he'd have to have a whole comeback, but she's not going to have to do that. Yeah. So she's just going to have to maybe rehab.
Mm-hmm. So
did you see these photos? Like the one where like they edited her out of the picture?
Yes.
No. That's awesome.
It was a picture of Megan Thee Stallion and Doja Cat where she... Megan Thee Stallion posted it on Instagram cropping out Cara Delevingne. Wow. So you can probably tell that she was like annoyed at
No,
her.
But if you see the photo, she's actually in the middle of the frame. It's not like they cropped her out of the side. Somebody had to professionally, it looks like somebody had to professionally edit that. Oof. Like if you look on the screen there, like Burn. It's like, is she in the
I
bottom
thought she was
photo?
Sitting behind Doja Cat, so she might have just not been pictured in it.
She's out of focus in that one. Probably because she was moving at the time that photo was taken.
Right.
But it's really funny because the one that she posted looks real. But it's clearly edited and photoshopped. And then the one where she's actually in there looks fake. Like somebody photoshopped her in the picture as if she was
she's
just trying to get
out.
Between them. Yeah, it's
weird.
Really weird.
Ugh.
So it says, some argued that Megan's repost was a subtle nod to the online commentary around Kara's antics. And others pointed out that Kara was slightly blurry in the original snap, so she might have actually been cropped out for that reason. Imagine having the budget for like a company that they can just like, we didn't get any better photos, so we'll just crop her out of that
sure.
one.
Yeah, that's not unreasonable.
So I don't know. I don't know if it speaks to the issues of like, is this because women have the ability to do this and get away with it? I can't say. Or if it's because just she's a celebrity and she has the ability
to
get away with it.
But yeah. I think it's mainly that she's a woman.
Yes,
double.
So you know how we have the intersectionality thing? That yeah. goes the other way too. If you're a celebrity and a woman, or if you're a celebrity and you're like LGBTQIA+, mm-hmm. You're going to be able to get away
yeah,
with
it. Yeah, we're turning it around on them.
Exactly. It's true. It's exactly the case.
It's I'm a guy, so I'm going to stay in my lane. I got nothing to say on this topic. I've got
no uterus, no opinion.
That's right.
I'm not allowed. That's what I've been told. So that is what
you.
It is. if you guys are ready, we can just go ahead and get right into Podluck.
Yeah. Oh,
they're
wow,
not super
jazzed,
right?
No.
Okay,
no. So we will get right into Podluck, and this one is going to. Oh man. At first it was creepy. Then I thought about it, and it was less creepy. Then I thought more about it, and it was more
it's creepy.
Again. And it says, "Dirty Dancing sequel: How a Patrick Swayze hologram could ruin everything."
No, don't like that.
So to be fair. I was like, that's really freaking weird. Then
like
I thought
that.
About Ghostbusters Afterlife, where they did a holographic version of Egon. But it's kind of more like Harold Ramis had passed, but it's a ghost. So it makes sense that it doesn't look real. How do you do? See, wasn't Patrick Swayze in the movie Ghost?
I think so.
There you could make.
There
okay,
you go.
No, that's really creepy.
That's
no, don't
even creepier.
Don't do that. Don't
do that.
That
at all.
Okay, so it says Dirty Dancing. So basically, like, I don't know if they want to do a hologram of his character from that movie. I'm more worried about making the fact that they're making a Dirty Dancing sequel or remake. Maybe that you just leave that
one
alone.
That desperate. Let's just bring it up again tomorrow to make Hannah Claire mad.
Risky Business will be next, I'm sure. Tom Cruise will play himself. He'll play the same character
this
in Risky Business again.
And deepfakes just feel very unethical to me.
Like,
you're stealing. It's not intellectual property. It's literally just like the personhood of somebody, their image,
their
likeness.
Yeah.
It should belong to them once and for all after they're dead. Like, that's it. Like, you shouldn't be able to create something that they did not agree to.
I agree.
Out of their image.
They're dead. Yeah. That's terrible.
There's a movie with Robin Wright. Where she, where basically she sells her likeness to a studio and they create like a, so they know how, I never saw the full thing. It wasn't in English. I didn't see it. I saw it with subtitles. And basically she sells her likeness to a studio for money. And they get to keep using her, as like in like AI or like, with CGI after she's dead. And there that comes into the idea of like, they can now de-age actors so well that they don't even need to hire new actors to do that. Right, like they don't even like why hire a new actor when I can just de-age Samuel L. Jackson? That'll be fine. They can keep doing that now. But eventually, these actors will die. You know, I don't know how much they how much their contracts sign their likeness over to these companies that they can just bring them back to life with projects that maybe would have been outside their sensibilities. Culture is changing so fast now that by the time some of these actors die, the world will be so very, very vastly different that the movies that they might use them in, they would have. Objected to, and they'll have had no say in the matter because it will be their estate that has the right to
like,
say that.
That doesn't seem
fair. You've heard of like a prenup, a postnup, and now like you have to make your posthumous legal rights known, like
there's a dystopian
like I keep saying it, but it keeps getting worse.
College athletes now have like NIL, like name, image, likeness, like the ability to make money off name, image, likeness. Now they're gonna have to like name, image, likeness for your death, where like you can like make money after you die.
It's just in perpetuity, and then your estate gets whatever money you earn.
Yeah,
like I assume Michael Jackson had.
So it says, we all know the famous movie quote, nobody puts baby in a corner with a CGI replica of the late Patrick Swayze. Okay, that's not the exact phrase, but it's nonetheless distinct and mortifying, possibly from the forthcoming sequel to the 1987 classic Dirty Dancing. Swayze, who played sexy Catskills dancer Johnny Castle, it's like the greatest name ever, by the way, Johnny Castle. he died of cancer in 2009, could return for the sequel in a digitized form, completely unbeknownst to him and potentially unbearable to us.
I don't like that.
No, neither do I. We're going to try and involve as many people from the original as possible, the director, John Levine, told Deadline at Cannes Film Festival, adding that the production is in conversation with Swayze's estate. Johnny is part of Baby's journey in the story. So I don't want to see this. Ghostbusters, it made sense. This, it does not make sense. Just leave him out.
Yeah.
Is there a movie like you can think of where you would like to see an actor brought back in CGI? Somebody who's passed away?
No.
I don't have any. No.
It's creepy.
Let them be. Yeah, honestly.
What if people like start doing this and nobody even remembers that they died? We talk about celebrities all the time and forget which ones are still alive, which ones have died yet. And
you know for a fact.
At some point, is it going to matter anymore?
You know for a fact.
Yikes.
Articles would come out like when they're at the premiere and they're like, and the actor was notably absent from the premiere. And then some of you will have to like write them and be like, he's dead. Like he can't be in the movie or he can't be at the premiere because he's dead.
This is a step into the metaverse that I've been grossed out about.
Yeah.
Not the most for sure, because there's certainly other aspects, but the whole idea of like bringing dead people. No, there was a Black Mirror about this.
Yep.
I feel like a good rule of thumb is if there was a Black Mirror about it, you do not want to mimic that. That's not a good idea.
It's just an instruction manual.
No, it's not. I don't like that.
All of these things are kind of becoming weird instruction manuals on what not to do that we just keep choosing to do. Did you guys watch? You watched the She-Hulk trailer, right?
Yeah, I did.
Part of it.
I wish I didn't.
What cringe? What the heck?
The girl bossery is out of control.
It feels like Marvel's trying to do Ally McBeal. Like, I don't know if any of you ever saw Ally McBeal. It's from
Single female lawyer.
Yeah.
Family Guy's thing.
The same guy did like Private Practice in Boston Legal. Boston Legal's actually a really, really good show. But like, it feels like Ally McBeal, that was like Calista Flockhart. And there's that line at the beginning when I almost turned it off when Hulk says like you have to like you your powers are triggered by anger and fear, and she's like,
isn't that just like the baseline existence of any woman?
I was like,
only a little B. Seriously. Not mine. Yeah. Like, I don't feel afraid all the time. Yeah. I could say
a lot, but I won't.
Yeah. Seriously.
The entire trailer was Yas Queen Slay. All the language is like, you have to.
And then it was like, you know, it's so hard dating in your 30s. Like,
oh, please.
Gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I will say that they actually did, like, the most of the hate for it was about the CGI. I didn't really care. Like it didn't look great.
I thought it looked bad immediately, but that's really not the main problem.
There are other issues.
Hulk CGI looked better, which I'm guessing, if I had to guess why, is because they're pulling the compounded elements from past CGI of that character, so that's already been done at a much higher level, whereas hers had to be created from scratch because there was no use of the character before this because it wasn't around. But since Hulk has already been in stuff, and they're using Smart Hulk, which is stupid because nobody wants to see Smart Hulk who can control himself.
No,
that's dumb.
That's not the appeal
and
of Hulk.
Mark Ruffalo sucks anyways.
Oh,
so
just as a person.
In general, the actress seemed fine at doing the dialogue. It's just really bad dialogue. And it was all like, it just feels very vacuous and empty. And it's like, I can applaud on one hand trying to do something different, like calling it She-Hulk Attorney at Law. I think it's extremely stupid. I think it's extremely,
I'm laughing at it.
Yeah. Like, I think it's extremely stupid, but when you've made like you can only make so many origin stories before all of these things end up starting to feel the same.
True. Getting a blood transfusion from
The Hulk.
The Hulk.
Yes.
Her origin story, really. Yikes.
In the comics, yeah. I don't know how they're going to do it in here. So I was never a She-Hulk fan, but there are some people who believe that there's a couple of runs of that character in comics.
Someone commented that it's just like a rework of Fiona from Shrek.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Oh, my God.
She
gosh.
Literally just looks like a green lady.
Except I like Fiona.
I do like Fiona. Yeah.
She's great.
And it does have Tim Roth, and I believe Tim Roth was in the original Incredible Hulk movie, which was the 2008 one, which nobody liked as far as I know. But Tim Roth is great. We're going to see him in that movie we were talking about yesterday about the amnesiac racist who gets in a car accident on his way to commit a terrorist attack. So go Hollywood. Your ideas are fantastic right now.
Out of this world.
It's fantastic. So I kind of put this up there with one of those things that it's like, of course, I don't care about the Marvel television shows. We go and see the movies out of like a perverse sense of like completionism. Like I feel like
obligation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't see, there's none that I go and see with any level of actual excitement.
I
do see them. I am part of the problem giving
gosh,
them money.
Darn it,
but
Brett.
It is what it is.
Stop it.
But if you want a sign that culture is turning around, perhaps against we talked yesterday about Netflix. In the culture memo,
yeah.
We talked, there's also that there's 150 people are getting laid off, though I do not relish people losing their jobs. Sometimes you have to hold these companies' feet to the fire and say this isn't what we want. And that's coming true in the fact that they canceled Ava DuVernay's new animated series called Wings of Fire, which I have never read, but to me, she's probably least likely to cause me anxiety doing animated stuff. Especially if it is less to do with modern sensibilities. Naomi was a fair attempt, but awful. Nobody liked A Wrinkle in Time. The one thing she's really known for is Selma, about Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
And that's like that's really her big claim to fame. But everything else that she's done is really kind of like, you know,
mediocre at best.
She will be known forever for spawning the Brie Larson quote from the interview.
Screw this lady.
You don't need to. I don't need the opinion.
No.
I don't need to know what a 40-year-old white guy thinks about A Wrinkle in Time. It wasn't made for him.
It wasn't made for you.
So Wings of Fire wasn't made for me, and She-Hulk definitely was not made for me.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, who's this stuff
not
for?
Me. I hate that. I'm sure you hate it just as much as I do. And Brett's just like, what the heck is
Are there
this?
A bunch of, like, millennial women with email jobs that just really love this stuff?
Maybe.
That could be true. I don't know.
They're just eating it up.
So it says they just talk about the book, and it's like, I don't care, but I do think that it's a sign that Netflix might be learning their lesson if they start canceling this stuff before it gets made. She also had a DC movie that was going to come out that got canceled as well, so I think they realize that she is for the most part becoming somewhat box office poison. So Netflix lays off 150 U.S., mostly U.S.-based workers. And I do, like, I don't like the term get woke, go broke, because I think that's a simplistic way of looking at it.
Right.
But
it is nuanced.
Taking ideology out of your content would be the best way going forward. But doing so, like the example I always give is, like, shows tend to do very well in season one. And, there's a lot of shows that I love in season one that break my heart in season two because it's like they don't know where else to take the show.
There are so many shows that should be movies. Full stop. That's it. That's my quote. That's
especially all these mini series.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Why not just make it like a movie?
Make a movie. Or except that would take more effort.
Like, give it a sequel if you feel like that would be necessary. Mm-hmm.
Well, Netflix also used to have the problem where they'd make 13 episodes and it didn't need 13 episodes. It needed 8 at most. Like, you could have cut a bunch out there. Mm-hmm. I was uniquely a fan of those because I like the, like, filler episodes. I'm a fan of. Like, I actually like shows that do more episodes because I enjoy those less important episodes because I feel like they help you understand the character better. But that doesn't mean it's always done well. It doesn't mean that every writing and directing team should be doing that. One of the problems, as we've said a lot of the times here, is that there's just too much stuff being made and not enough competent writers and directors to do it all. When I see stuff these days, it's like the same directors on all the stuff that's at least tolerable. It's like the same writers and directors that I see on everything. Who are still doing this, you know, the stuff that seems to come out tolerable, and the names I don't understand or know are on the stuff that I've never heard of. Or
exactly.
The example I was going to give the other day is, did anybody see the female reboot of Doogie Howser?
Nope.
No.
No,
heard of it though.
It was like it was like a girl from Hawaii or something like that. I never saw it, but it's like there's so much stuff getting made that that's a thing, and I don't even have the knowledge about it to dunk on it when I should, because there's just too much stuff being made. So I don't know if this is get woke, go broke, or if it's just the in the back to the point. I said like these shows break my heart in season two because they don't know where to go. A lot of it is just there's too much getting made and they don't know where to go. Like, there's not enough competent storytellers.
Too much quantity.
Yeah, and there's just, it's kind of killing the market.
Yeah.
All the stuff I watch nowadays, unless it's movies or stuff we review, which we haven't really, like, I'm looking into, we're going to go see Top Gun.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of things coming out that I would have liked to have reviewed. I tried to watch We Own the City because I liked David Simon. It was not good. I just went back and rewatched The Wire instead.
Yeah, it works.
Tokyo Vice was good but slow. But in general, like, I'm kind of looking for that, like, Reacher, like, the show Reacher was a fantastic show.
I heard good things about it, yeah.
I'm looking for stuff like that, but you're not going to get that every week. You're going to get that maybe once every 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
Like, there might be good stuff
for years.
Yeah, like, the Jack Ryan had a good first season, the John Krasinski version, season two was awful, and you just don't know. Bosch did good for most of its 7 seasons, but you're not really going to get that with every show you get, and that's part of the hard part of doing this job, is, like, Netflix is making too much stuff and needs to, I think they would do better to cut back on content rather than lay off workers, just make less stuff.
Yes, exactly.
So, do you want to talk about the Halsey thing, or do you want to go straight to Taylor Swift?
The Halsey thing was really not.
It was
what
a non
it
thing.
Like it was.
That was framing, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Taylor Swift. You want to do this one?
Sure.
Give it pull up. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Taylor Swift. I didn't know this, but she just graduated at NYU and she gave their commencement speech. I don't agree with the framing on this one either. I watched a few minutes of this speech. They said that she subtly addressed cancel culture. More so, what she addressed is the ability to, I guess, accept that you're cringe.
Yeah.
And not try not to be cringe, because even that is cringe. And she was talking about making mistakes and how the way she started her career as a child at like 15, she was kind of scared to make any mistakes because she was made to feel responsible for all the children of America. And like back in, what was that? Like 2006.
Yeah.
That was a lot more something that like we worried about and like parents worried about.
Yeah.
And these days there's almost too little consideration of how a role model is supposed to act, or how someone in the celebrity class is supposed to act as an example for their young and impressionable fans. But basically her point in her speech was that it's okay to make mistakes and be cringy and embarrassing sometimes. And like she wasn't really talking about cancel culture. She was just talking about, like, you know,
subtly
being
addresses,
human.
Very subtle, yeah.
It's the most subtle way to address it possible, if she was even going for that, which I don't think she was.
I don't think she was going for that.
She's just like, she kind of annoys me these days because she, like, ever since she got kind of political, she speaks on things that she doesn't understand and she's not good at speaking about. She's good at speaking about herself.
Mm. And you guys
have.
Which
is a skill. It's a good skill to have if you're a songwriter, like, obviously.
Right.
But she tries to stick her nose in places where it doesn't belong. And I'm glad that this wasn't an example of that.
And you guys disagreed. Like, you think that she had to. One of you thought she had to go that way. Another person thought.
Well, Lydia is sympathetic, thinking that she was forced to get into politics.
In what way?
Yeah. So, well, there was a time when they would ask her, they would be like, you know, how they're like, you know, the hat industry has remained largely silent on Roe v. Wade. And it's like, there's no reason for them to say anything about that. And everyone knows it.
It's like Morgan Wallen, like, he didn't address his N-word controversy during his performance.
See, that's
why would he do that?
That's a little different because that's about him.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the hat industry has literally no say in Roe v. Wade. It makes no difference
like,
to their
talk earnings. About social issues.
Yeah. Well, and I felt like when she made whatever that silly song song was with a super LGBTQIA plus video, I was like, oh, it looks like they've convinced her
calm down.
She has to come out in favor of this kind of nonsense. And because
for context, that music video is basically like a Pride Parade music video.
Yeah, it was a Pride Parade, and it made it. It was Republicans holding misspelled signs. It was the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Truly political. And I was just like, it looks like they convinced her that she has to do this to stay relevant, almost like an ESG type thing. Not sure about that. But they had been criticizing her previously for not being political. She just wasn't. She had nothing to say about it. I was like, that's great.
I'm like,
keep saying
pre-
nothing.
Pre-2015-ish, it was kind of fine to just be an apolitical pop star.
Right.
Well, and didn't they always like kind of like theorize that she was conservative because she didn't talk about it?
Exactly.
Or because she has a past in country music. That's obviously a factor in like people speculating that.
Yeah.
Baseless, though. I don't think she ever had any political opinions. I still don't think she does.
And I'm like, cool, good for you.
Like, keep out of her political opinions are pretty much just like fed to her in her documentary, I believe, came out in like 2020 or 2019, I forget, but she got really political in that and made it part of her like story in her in her career, that she had to hide her true beliefs.
I love that whenever they're just like, what was it, like Miley Cyrus, who's like, who came out and was like, I might lose some fans over this, but F Donald Trump.
Right. And
I'm
I am sure
the target demographic for
like Demi
you.
Demi Lovato, right?
Was it Demi Lovato?
Yeah.
It's like, I know I might lose some fans over, like, they all think that way. They all
they
think
don't,
that they're,
though. They just say this like as just, you know, that's what you're told to say by your
PR
team.
Thing,
like,
yeah.
Taylor Swift, in her case, it was like, I know I might lose some fans for this, but I'm a girl boss feminist yes queen.
Very against the narrative you are.
And like,
a real renegade.
You know what? Maybe she did lose some fans because she lost me with that.
For sure. I'm out. Bye.
So she was right.
It's just, it's cringy because like, stick to what you're good at, which is talking about your feelings. That's literally your job.
Right.
She should make like a song with Ben Shapiro, like Facts Over Feelings.
Yeah, I love it.
They should do that.
Let's do it.
They should, like he can play the love interest, and it would be really weird and awkward, and it would be fantastic.
Sure, if you think about it, like the message of the whole like you need to calm down thing is like, you guys need to calm down.
Yeah.
The like Republicans are perfectly calm about this situation.
Too
maybe
calm,
too calm.
Anything. Exactly.
It's you guys who are freaking out all the time and like screaming your head off about politics constantly when no one wants to hear about it.
With your pink hats.
Yes,
right.
It's the pink hats.
Okay, and to end things on a fun note, we are going to talk about the world's greatest, what would you call it, failed cucumber?
Kendall Jenner and a cucumber could go many directions.
Cucumber, yeah,
that was a that was clickbait
really
of me. If anything, it's Kendall Jenner and a cucumber.
Oh,
what's the rest of the story? Tune in next time for
find out.
So it says, people are sad for Kendall Jenner's lack of basic life skills after her inability to slice a cucumber sparked a conversation about privilege because they have to use that word everywhere. They love that word. As the daughter of an Olympic gold medalist Caitlyn Jenner and super savvy businesswoman Kris Jenner was always destined for a life of immense privilege. I hate that word.
To be fair,
it's true, but
I know,
because of her money.
Yes. She was raised in a mansion in an affluent part of Calabasas, and when her family landed a reality TV show in 2007, well, her wealth only intensified. And then we'll just go down here. I don't know if we should play the video. The video is hilarious. I don't know if can we. Yes, here it is.
I think we should be able
Let's
to
do it.
I think so.
So
it's
that's
just so hyperbolized.
It's more though. It's her face. Like, maybe I should have taught her how to.
She like everything is flashing before her eyes.
She's like, oh,
Chris
so
is like,
many
wait,
regrets.
My
no.
children are like useless at
For
doing
me,
anything
this
practical.
Is very much her holding the camera, being like, "You're doing great, sweetie." She's literally like recording her. She's like, "Go on, let's see if you can cut this cucumber."
However, when she visibly struggled to cut the vegetable with, Chris warned her to be careful as she watched her daughter hesitate over how to slice it. You know, that she just didn't know what she was doing. Like.
She grabbed the cucumber from the exact place where she was trying to cut
that's
it.
That's so weird.
And then corrected herself.
So it says, visibly worried, Chris then called for her chef to come out and cut the cucumber on Kendall's behalf.
Oh,
but
no.
Kendall shut down the suggestion and maintained
that
she could do it.
I can do it.
The first thing I thought of when I read that is like when the kid like wants to ride his bike for the first time and his dad's like holding his like, let go, dad. I can ride the bike on my own. Yeah. And she's like, don't call the chef, mom. I can cut this cucumber.
I'm happy for her. Yeah. Good for her.
Girl boss, learn how to cut
those. She tweeted about it. She says, tragic. Yeah. I love it so much. It is indeed tragic. I'm glad she can laugh at herself.
I don't think that I'm kind of giggling over like I just thought it was funny.
Now we just had to end on a high note.
Now I feel bad because like, you know what? Maybe I would screw up cutting a but we had home ec when I was in school. We had to take home ec when I was in school. So
pineapple
I just
are hard to cut. Yeah. So yeah, if a normal person who normally cuts their own food is trying to cut something challenging, like I don't know, a mango's kind of hard to cut. Star fruit is pretty easy to cut, but like a pineapple, that's hard.
It's kind of like when they're like just buy an electric car. They're like, why don't you just get a chef? Why would you need to cut your own fruit?
Sure,
just
Chris
get
Jenner,
a chef.
Just buy a chef. Yeah. That
when I saw the headline, I thought it was gonna be her just like hitting the cucumber
hitting
with
the wrong end of the knife or something.
It'd be like, why isn't it working?
That'd be great. No, she's not stupid.
No.
And I like that she's done doing it herself. Very proud of her. She's only 26 years old. Okay, she's very young.
The way Kendall Jenner cut a cucumber, the way they can't do basic everyday things is so sad. I just saw the video.
Someone said, nah, Kendall is a failure.
No. That's rude.
The way Kendall Jenner cuts a cucumber is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen and is such a definitive comment on celebrity and wealth in different realities. That was actually fairly...
That's pretty acute.
That was, yeah, they weren't being like...
a jerk.
Yeah, they made that as general as possible. Yep. I will give them that. Watching her try to cut up the cucumber was just sad. Kris Jenner, it's wrong and shows how unattached to real life she is. That privilege is a bad thing. What has she actually done for herself? When you're this privileged, it's a problem. I mean,
is it?
So far as
their parenting was inadequate, yeah.
Exactly.
I guess.
The argument could be made like, well, you're tweeting about it and they've monetized her inability to cut a cucumber, so they're doing something right.
You're talking about it, lady.
Yep.
That's a skill.
Mm-hmm. That is in fact a skill.
That is their skill.
So,
yep.
So maybe after this, we all go down and cook and somebody else. yes, you can cook. Oh, you bake.
Oh, yeah, she bakes. She's great.
I like
baking. Yeah, a lot of
fun. She's more... exact. You don't have to make anything.
It is
as you go
science.
Along.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to bake?
Cookies or brownies?
Pretty great brownies.
She makes very good cookies and brownies on a fairly regular basis. In fact, you should probably do that today.
I think I want to do peanut butter jelly bars.
Oh, gross. Cool. That sounds fun. Yeah.
That's such a good idea. Yeah. You. Look at me.
Yes.
You, Lydia,
yes.
Thank you for coming today.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for having me.
Did you have fun today?
I had a great time today. I always enjoy talking about people failing to cut things.
What of these stories stood out the most to you?
Let's see. So bread and circuses of the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial, I think is entirely correct. I think that's exactly what that was. And then the whole, attempted involvement of Kara.
Kara, I don't know if it's Kara or Kara.
I kept Kara. Switching between.
Kara,
I don't know.
Kara.
I guess Kara.
I say Kara, but it's. Is there actually a way to fit, like to look linguistically on like to look at how it's spelled to know the difference?
Know. She's Kara? British, so she says it wrong anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Ignore how she
Make it
says
up.
It.
Chris Carr would have a problem with that, given the British part.
Yeah.
So yes, I personally think that the Taylor Hawkins one was the one that to me stood out to me the most. So I like it when everybody kind of has a different take. Did any of them like? Would you have a favorite of anything we covered today?
Cara Delevingne.
Yeah, that's wild.
Because she's just so annoying.
So literally all three, like you said, Johnny Depp, I said Taylor Hawkins, you said Cara Delevingne. We're doing something right here.
I will say that it is the case could definitely be made that stars are just like us when someone is as cringe as Cara. Like seriously, oh my gosh, I was embarrassed for her.
It's just like if no one ever bullied you.
Calm down.
that's what you turn into. Yeah.
Maybe Taylor Swift was talking about Cara Delevingne in her commencement speech.
She's like, oh girl, calm down.
Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you on social media?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Minds.com at Sour Patch Lids. I'm also on Instagram at Sour Patch Leiterman, Leiterman. Leiterman, not Leiterman.
It'll always be Leiterman to me.
Shut up. Tim pronounced it that way last night, and I'm blaming you for this, Brett.
Yep.
and I also have my own little sourpatchlids.me, and my own Substack is on there, too.
Anything new on Substack lately?
Yeah, I did up a quick 250-word little thing where I talk about what Camille Paglia has to say about society's role in supporting people who can't support themselves.
Oh,
what a lady.
Yeah.
That is very good. Tell everyone where they can find you, Mary.
You can find me on Instagram and WeChat at Closer Kitty. I always promote the articles I post on the Timcast website on Instagram, so keep an eye out for those.
And you posted one today.
I did, yeah, yes. And yesterday.
All right, guys, you can follow me on Instagram at Brett Dasovic. It's mostly skating there, but I post my anything I have to say about movies and TV goes into my story, and it's usually me posting stuff that's awesome because everything we do here is ranting. So when I post stuff on stories, it's usually just really awesome stuff in movies and TV that I like because I like to promote happy times rather than sad times, which is like feels like that's
good
what we're
doing. Good thing, not bad thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
We like a good thing.
We yes. do like a good thing.
Exactly. So follow me on Instagram there at Brett Dasovic. For the show, so follow us every day now live, Monday through Friday. It is getting more real as these days go on that we're doing this every single day live now. So 3 p.m. right here on YouTube. You can also find the podcast to listen on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, if you so desire to listen to it on the way to work so that it does not distract you. Or I guess lunchtime now. Like it's kind of like the lunchtime show.
Yeah.
Like on the West Coast. So you can like us there. And then on social media, we are on Facebook and on TikTok at Pop Culture Crisis. We are on Twitter at PopCultureCrisis_show. And we are on Instagram, which Mary helps and promotes all her stuff on there as well.
Yeah,
and
Dane does those, right?
And Dane does that.
Yes.
So
to the point where it's annoying.
Yes.
I will not stop posting.
Do it.
And there, that is at Pop Culture Crisis Pod. And I said them out of order today because I'm like, it's like brain training. I'm teaching myself how to say so that I don't do
like
it.
Like brushing your teeth in a different way to prevent Alzheimer's.
Yeah, like you say it out of order so I don't get, because like when you say it in order every time, if something goes wrong, it throws off the whole thing. Yeah. So yes, that's false there on social media. And what else do we see? Now I threw myself off.
Now you've done it.
What haven't we mentioned?
I think we
WeChat.
No. So that is everything, and we will be back. We'll just go there. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll see you then, guys. Bye. Ciao.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.